banana singing his song. All the little birds on Jaybird Street love to hear the robin go tweet, 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 rockin' robin, tweet, 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 rockin' robin, tweet, 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 blow, rockin' robin, cause we're really gonna rock 'em tonight. Every little swallow, every chickadee, every little bird in the tall oak tree, the wise or loud, the big black crow, flap of their wings, sing and go, bird, go, rockin' robin, tweet, tweet, rock, rock, rockin' robin, tweet.
Welcome everyone to another edition of Community in Depth. That song means that we are surrounded by birds and friends at the Carpenter St. Croix Valley Nature Center, and we couldn't be more thrilled to have on the phone with us Kendall Chergowski. She is here to tell us about all the good things going on at the Carpenter St. Croix Valley Nature Center. How have you been?
I have been not so bad. You know, I always find myself, you know, sometimes people ask, like, what's your favorite season? What's your favorite season? And I find that my favorite season is, like, whatever one we're currently in.
Aww.
You know, it's like summer. Summer is great. But, like, it's like autumn now. Did you notice that it's like autumn now? All
you know, it is. Isn't it funny? We turn the calendar to a new month and all of a sudden you feel it in the air. What sort of subtle changes are happening at the Carpenter St. Croix Valley Nature Center that maybe only you would know?
Ooh, only me. Well, so we did, we had a very, very special cool program recently. One of the things we've seen a lot of recently is the monarchs have been out and about. So we actually did a program where we tagged those monarchs.
What?
Yeah. So you know how we do our bird banding at the Nature Center?
I do. Like, you do not tag little tiny monarchs.
Yeah, what? Like it's similar to our bird banding. So for the bird banding, we put a little, like, bracelet on a bird. That way, if it's retrapped somewhere else, then, you know, we would know that it's the same individual because they basically have a special little, like, number that means it's just that bird. We've had birds show up as far away as, like, Alaska that we banded right here at Carpenter. But with monarchs, do you know what monarchs do every single fall because it's super special?
Is it the whole chrysalis thing?
They do that, yes. Super cool. But the big thing is they migrate all the way down to Mexico.
Oh, yes. Now, tell me all about this, because there's super ones, and then there's just normal ones.
Yeah. Oh, look at, you know, you're way ahead of the curve
really
on this.
I'm really not.
Because I feel like I learned a lot of this stuff for the first time. So for monarchs, they go through their life cycle, and for most monarchs, that life cycle lasts about 4 weeks. So they start out as their little egg, and then they turn into, like, a hungry, hungry caterpillar, and all they do is just eat milkweed. And then they turn into a chrysalis for a while, and then they're an adult, and then they lay their eggs, and then they die. But when they migrate, it's actually called a super generation, which can live like 8 times as long. They live for like 8 months rather than 4 weeks.
It's kind of a bummer that not all monarchs are like that. And you wonder if the short-term ones know about the long-term ones.
I don't know. Well, the long-term ones are different. Abby, another naturalist at Carpenter, I think she did the interview last month, she and I have noticed that even the behavior seems a little bit different. You know, the younger monarchs, or the ones that only last about, like, 4 weeks or whatever, they almost have, like, a more leisurely flight, it seems like. And then the ones, you know, the super generation just seem really, they're just ready to go.
They're all business.
Yeah, right. they're fast. They're flapping around. They're like, all right, time to go. Got to go to Mexico.
Do they look stronger?
I've noticed that their chrysalises sometimes even look a little bit smaller because they actually, they go through metamorphosis a little bit quicker than their counterparts, I believe.
I just don't understand this all, and I guess we're not supposed to, but it really is fascinating. So when you put bands on them, what are you banding?
Well, so it's not so much a band like it is the bird. It is a tag. So it really is just like a little sticker, like just like a little price tag sticker.
And you put it on their wing?
We do, yeah. And the thing with butterflies, too, their wings are scaly and, you know, they're fragile, so we're really delicate. We just stick a little. The sticker is so small. I'm trying to think of something to compare it to. It's, you know, smaller than a dime, and it goes right on the specific part of their wing so that scientists who are capturing these butterflies kind of know where to look for it. It's called the D cell. You know how the monarchs have those, like, pretty black lines all over their wings? Yeah, there's a specific one that Abby always says kind of looks like a mitten, and you just stick the sticker on there, and then if it's recaptured when it makes it its way south, then we'll know that, you know, monarchs from up here are making it all the way down there. They're having successful journeys. So there's a lot of stuff on the way that they might run into.
That the sticker doesn't throw them off, because I would assume that's like on a plane when they ask you how much you weigh, and then you have to go sit on the other side.
Like a helicopter or something. No, yeah, it is light enough, and the butterflies are light enough that it doesn't seem to bother them too much. So
fascinating. Have you ever recaptured butterflies to find out where they're from?
You know, this is our first year doing this monarch tagging program. We did it this past weekend, and we had a great turnout, a bunch of people coming out to the Nature Center.
Because it's so unusual.
Yeah. So, but while we were out there, there were people. We would release one, and then we were capturing some wild butterflies. There were a couple people who accidentally captured one that we had just released.
Oh, dear.
Yeah. Yeah, but if they make it all the way there, we're going to get, like, a little certificate saying that they made it. So.
Wow.
Right.
That is really, really cool. So that happened this last weekend. Mm-hmm. What does the actual grounds look like? Are trees starting to turn?
Not quite yet. Some of the early turning trees, like some trees are even starting to shed their leaves a little bit, but it is a little too soon yet. So peak colors are not usually until, you know, a little bit later in the season. I mean, it's not technically autumn yet. Actual autumn starts later this month, but, you know, I'm like willing to drink pumpkin anything at any time.
And throw a sweater on.
Yeah.
Call it a day. Absolutely. Right. Well, fall always brings apples. What do you know about apples?
We're so excited. Yeah, we have just started picking in our orchard in the last couple of weeks. I'm so, so, so excited. I've eaten so many apples, though.
And don't apples that you have there, they all kind of come due at a different time?
They do, yeah. So we have been picking sweet tango apples. The Zestars are almost ready. And then we have a super special apple. We actually have First Kiss apples. Have you heard anything about those?
You know, I have. Is that from the University of Minnesota?
It is, yeah. Okay. And sweet tangos and Zestars are as well. But the First Kiss is like a new cultivar. Like on the market in like 2018, like new.
And you've already been able to grow those in your trees?
We are selling some individual apples this year. So normally, if the state fair were happening, which unfortunately it's not, but for good reason, they would be selling them for about $3 an apple at the state fair. So we're selling them for $2 an apple if you want to come try it. The cool thing about them, right, is they're like marketed as a Honeycrisp that's ready by Labor Day. So they're one of those apples that is ready super early.
And what does it taste like, please?
Ooh, it's got nice Honeycrisp crunch. It's a little, I would say, it's a little less overwhelmingly sweet than Honeycrisp, and they're a little bit smaller. You know how Honeycrisps are just like big honking apples? I kind of like, First Kiss is like a size where it's like, I'm not going to feel like I have too much sugar in my body if
I
eat it, you know?
Or hurt your jaw trying to bite into it.
Right. Last year we had one Connell Red apple that it just the one apple was like a pound. It was crazy. So these aren't quite that big.
So this apple is ready. And when you say that you sell them only one at a time, is it because you don't have very many?
Exactly. So our First Kiss trees, you know, since the cultivar is pretty young, the trees are pretty small. So last year I think we got, you know, a couple bushels, like two bushels of them. This year we have like 10. So we got some. But yeah, they're really something, and you know it's just something special to be able to taste like a new fruit. It doesn't happen all the time. It takes a lot of effort to be able to make a new apple,
and especially one that's going to be able to make it through our harsh winters. I would assume.
Yeah. So the thing about this one is actually, because apples they can be kind of fickle. Like you can't grow apples just everywhere, right? But this is actually a Honeycrisp that's been mixed with an apple variety from Arkansas.
What?
Yeah. So and the thing about apples too. Oh my gosh! I was just talking to our orchard guy Spare.
Oh, I love him.
Oh, me too. And we were
he
talking about.
He told me to call him Johnny Appleseed. Is that true?
Yeah. I'm sure he would love that.
He told me that's what I should call him. So yeah, that's what I would, do call
yeah,
him.
Please do. It was just his
Well, birthday, please so. Greet him. Yes. He knows way too much about apples. It's almost
he's got
kind
like
of.
Apples coming out of his ears.
Kind of, yes.
So the thing about apples is, you know, if I were to take a seed from a Honeycrisp apple, because I really like Honeycrisps, and plant it in the ground, I would not get a Honeycrisp apple tree. They just don't work like that. So in order to get this apple, They have to cross-pollinate, so they hand-pollinate the little apple blossoms between the two trees that they want, and then, you know, they put a little baggie over it, over the blossom to make sure nobody else pollinates it, and then it produces an apple, and they take the seeds from that apple, and then they plant them to see if they're going to get a fruit that tastes good, or an apple, a tree that's going to grow a fruit that tastes good, because it's not necessarily going to be that much like its parent apple.
But this is years in the making.
They did this. They started working on this in the 90s, I'm pretty sure.
Oh, my gosh.
It's thousands and thousands of trees just trying over and over because they're looking for a few things. There's a lot of different boxes it needs to check. It needs to keep well. You know, you can have an apple that just, like, rots in your fridge after a couple, you know, days off the tree, and that's no good.
No.
You want it to be nice and crunchy. You want it to be sweet and not too tart. You want them to be big. And then the main thing is you want them to be ready early. You know, like, I love a Honeycrisp, but those aren't ready till like the middle of the season, you know.
But it's kind of nice how nature spreads them out like that. You know, even some apples taste different and they're the same variety. Why is that? Do they come from different trees?
That is a really, really interesting question, actually, because so the thing about the First Kiss and the Zestar and the Sweet Tango apple especially is those are actually cultivar names. So those are names for just those varieties of apple, and all of those apples are from like a grafted tree. So, you know, you can't just plant a seed from a Honeycrisp apple. You have to actually take apart from the original tree. But sometimes, like back before that was sort of regulated, you would get Honeycrisps all over the country, and they would taste like completely different. So, yeah, those names are a lot of the times just reserved for those specific types of apples. Sweet Tango actually only applies to like the grade A fancy apples from that cultivar. Isn't that crazy?
Didn't know that. Thank you. Yeah. So how many different kinds of apples do you have at the orchard?
I believe we have 15.
Oh, my gosh.
If I was really good, I'd be able to name them off the cuff for you, but I am not, so I will not try. But we have, you know, later in the season, we have Harrelson's, which are great for, they're great caramel apples. Do you like a caramel apple?
Love a caramel. I like the caramel part the best. But
me too.
Yeah.
What is your favorite apple treat? Do you have a favorite?
Apple treat? You know, I make a pretty mean crock pot apple crisp. I got to tell you, it really is good. And the key is to leave the cover off your crock pot for the last little bit, and you put oatmeal crumble on the top with brown sugar. Yummers, yummers.
I am going to make you write that down for me later.
Yes, it's very good. I promise you.
You know what? Like Harrelson apples, because they're tart, you can add a lot of sugar to them and they don't get too sweet. So those are, you should look forward to those. You have Connell Reds, which are, like I said, enormous. Honeycrisps, of course. Let me think. The Zestars are very tasty. Fireside apples, which I really enjoy. Keepsake apples, which, you know, we were talking. Keepsake apples, those things will keep. They live up to their name.
Isn't that
something?
We were
still eating some keepsake apples, I want to say, in February.
You're kidding!
No, they keep really well. Yeah, that's one of the things that you can breed into your apples. It's crazy.
So, and is your last one of the season something having to do with snow?
Oh, snow sweet. Yeah, that's right. Snow sweets are so interesting because they actually need the freeze to finish growing.
Okay, weird, but wow.
Yeah, and they're so pretty, too. On the inside, you know, apples have, when I think of an apple, I think of the nice red and then kind of like a creamy color on the inside almost, but like snow sweets are white on the inside.
So how will we be able to taste apples this year given the COVID stuff?
Oh, yes, that is incredibly important. We are making a few changes this year. Actually, this year, since we're a little bit shorter staffed or we're just bringing in fewer people to the Apple Shack, we're actually going to be closed on Monday and Tuesday just so we can pick and sort our apples to make sure they're ready for customers and the rest of the week. So we are going to be doing some curbside stuff as well. People can definitely call ahead to order their apples. That way we can just, you know, bring them out to you and limit the amount of people inside. And we are opening the Wednesday after Labor Day also, just FYI. That is the 9th. Our hours are going to be 10 to 5 as well, so we're not opening the Apple Shack. I don't think we'll be open right away in the morning, just to give us time to make sure we have all of our orders processed if people want to call their apples in ahead of time.
But we're going to be able to taste the apples.
We are not quite sure if we're going to, how we're going to be structuring, like,
okay,
you know, sampling apples at this point. You know, that can be, it can be a little tricky.
It can be tricky, and I totally understand how that would be something you have to think through. Mm-hmm. So the apples are here, and besides the First Kiss, What are some of the other ones that we could pick up, you know, within a week or two?
So Sweet Tangoes, we have a whole mess of Sweet Tango apples. We're just started kind of picking Zest Star apples as well. So those are going to be the first ones that we have. And First Kiss, we're selling individually, but we are going to sell some littler bundles of just the grade 2 less fancy First Kiss apples as well. So those are kind of in limited supply. Yeah, one thing that we're doing too, you know, we're not going to have as many kids coming through our orchard as we normally do. So instead, we're going to be doing some more family programs, and we're actually going to be including a little bit of pick your own in that too. I know everyone loves to pick their own apples.
We do, but I'm not sure what we're supposed to look for.
Oh, well, we will bring you to the place where the apples are the most ready. You just want to look for one that's nice and big and red.
Can we taste them there?
I mean, I don't think anyone would quarrel with you if you taste an apple off the tree, because ask me how many apples I've eaten today, Mo.
How many apples have you eaten today, Kendall?
Probably like 5.
An apple a day.
Yeah, so 5 has got to be like great, right?
You're going to live forever, I think. Absolutely. Well, we love that. So before we go, though, I want to hear more about your big gala event. It's something that you have once a year, and I'm hoping that people rally around you. I know it's just a weird COVID time. What's going on with that, please?
Well, the gala, for the first time ever, is going to be an event open to the public completely free. However, the contingent on that is that it is online. So we are doing our annual gala on September 13th. That's a Sunday. It's starting at 6:30 p.m. and it's actually going to be live streamed on our YouTube. So we have some really cool programming with Jen. We have some cool stuff with the Raptors. I speak a little bit on it. It's very exciting. But there's going to be music. There's going to be a wine pull. Have you ever like done a wine pull or raffle before? Yeah. And a silent auction, which is actually starting September 4th. So that's in a couple days. You can start looking at your items on the silent auction.
And where can we go for all that, please?
So you can go to our website on our annual events page. So you can scroll down until you find our Autumn in the Valley Gala.
And it's carpenternaturecenter.org?
Yes.
Kendall, anything else you want to tell us?
Oh, golly. Come get your apples.
Like, no kidding.
Know, absolutely. They're crunchy, they're delicious, and, you know, we have plenty of them. So,
Kendall Chigorsky, she is with the Carpenter St. Croix Valley Nature Center, and we're always so happy to chat it up with you. We hope that your big event on September 13th is really successful.
It's going to be fun.
And you are listening to another edition of Community in Depth on AM 1460 and FM 97.7 KDWA in Hastings.
Singing his song. All the little birds on Jaybird Street love to hear the robin go tweet, 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 rock and robin, tweet, 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 rock and robin, tweet, 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 blow rock and robin, 'cause we're really gonna rock them tonight.